Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. Catholic Order of Foresters is looking to hire relevant radio listeners as new agents in each of our markets. For more information, call Mark at 855-696-2085.
The following is a relevant radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Never knew such a love could be found. It's so amazing. I can taste, I can feel, I can see, for I am facing love divine. You are mine. You have found me just in time. You are mine, all in all, love divine.
Bridging the gap for your morning drive, it's Morning Air with Sean Harriott, along with Glenn Leverins, bringing you the news from the Vatican and around the world. And now, here's your host, Sean Harriott.
Thanks for joining us for this hour of Morning Air. Hey, Glenn, I was thinking about what you said about the ukulele, and after 10 years of making cracks about my ukulele, about my accordion playing news guy, now you can talk about your ukulele playing co-host. So a little payback is in order.
It's a wonderful thing. A lot of payback may be in order here. Well, we'll see. We'll give you that chance in the near future here to break it out and see how it goes.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. That's You've thrown down the gauntlet there. I'll have to take up the challenge. So, very good. Jeffrey Tumlin is with me. I'm glad to have him back on the show. And he's the author of the book, Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and in Life. And it's published by McGraw-Hill. You can find it just about everywhere. Find it at your local bookstore or go online to tumlin.com. That's tumlin.com. Jeffrey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? How was your holiday?
Oh, it was wonderful. I got to see a lot of my family, and we had a real good time. How about you?
Very nice. I actually just got off of about 2.5 weeks off work and completely unplugged, so it was very, very nice.
Great. Well, welcome back, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. So we're going to talk about some New Year's resolutions for communicating. And, of course, you talk a lot about communication and the convergence of technology, that the fact that we now have more ways to communicate doesn't mean that we're always communicating in a better way.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that strikes me as unusual about this moment in our history is that we've never had more powerful tools to connect with other people. But that kind of meaningful connection that many of us crave is in some ways more elusive than ever. And I think that the gap is, it's interesting you mentioned the word that, you unplugged in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's something about this kind of hyper-communicating, distraction-prone environment that we're in that isn't quite fulfilling in the way that we want it. And I think that, from my position as somebody who thinks a lot about communication, what's missing are those rich kind of connections that we have one-on-one.
Yes.
I just came off, like many of the listeners like you, off of holidays. And, I had dozens of wonderful, rich, deep connections with my niece and nephew, and I can't compete with the quality of the stories that they could get on their iPad, but they know when I stop and I'm talking and giving them my full attention that kind of old school story is, in its own way, tremendously powerful, even though my words don't have the kind of graphic fidelity of something from Pixar, right?
Right.
It's still the uncle in a moment in time paying deep attention. And even children have that craving for that kind of connection.
Well, and that's a memory that might stay with one of those kids 30 years from now. that I guarantee you what they saw on Instagram is not going to make it that far.
Yeah, you know, that's the goofy thing about communication is that we never know when we're going to have pivotal conversations. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I have a story that I wrote in my book of many years ago. I was leading a group of people when I was working at the University of Texas to put on a big conference, and we had hired a pretty young guy to help us coordinate work with a bunch of graduate students. And I didn't know much about the guy, but I spent a couple moments before our first meeting getting to know him, and I wrote a couple words of introduction on a note card. And during the meeting, I introduced him, said he'd be working with the grad students, and we were glad to have him on board and things like that. Mm. And then the meeting progressed, normal, boring kind of meeting. And at the end of the meeting, he stuck around, and when everybody cleared out, he said, "Look, I just want to tell you, nobody's ever said those kind of things about me." And I was dumbfounded.
Wow.
Because to me, it was just a regular old introduction.
Yeah.
It took me about 30 seconds to do. But as it turned out, he was feeling profoundly unchallenged about his job and so on and so forth. And that moment became a turning point for him, and he quit the job. You know, at the end of the semester, he quit the job. He got two much huger jobs over the next 5 years, and now he's running a leadership development program at a prestigious, you know, old line university in New England. And, you know, he credits
Wow.
that conversation. But that's the thing. We don't know when conversations are going to be the turning mm-hmm. point in someone else's life. We don't know how important we might be. And you know what? Chances are, Sean, none of those 50 little snippets of conversation I had with my niece or nephew over the holidays, none of those may mark miraculous turning points in their life mm-hmm. or anything like that. But we just don't know when they might. I don't know if just listening to one of my aunts 5 days ago might have been the thing she needed to mm-hmm. know she wasn't alone,
yeah.
you know, 2 years after her husband of 50 years mm-hmm. died. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't know. So.
No, and there are moments that we all have with us that there are some memories I have that I don't even remember the context of the conversation, but I remember the way it felt. I remember the kind of connection that I had with somebody. And it really is amazing that it can be in the course of a really mundane conversation that something can stay with you, or something that you can say can stay with someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's the thing about people. It's a mystery. And, you know, no matter how much of the science we learn about, you know, mimicry and mirror neurons and so forth, at the end of the day, a lot of it's a mystery.
Mm.
And it's why paying more attention to how we interact is so vitally, in my judgment, so vitally important, because we're important in all of the interactions we have, not only for the way it shapes our world, but how it impacts other people. And one of the other goofy quirks about this digital revolution is basically I get up and I start my day and I'm looking for the blinking blue light on my smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where are my messages? What do I have to churn through? How can I get to inbox zero?
Right.
And communication has become something that I do to knock out. And that's crazy because communication isn't a thing I do on my to-do list. It's how I make my life.
Right.
And so, you know, that's another reason why I think one thing that may be helpful for folks in 2014 is reestablishing the importance of how they're interacting and the words that they're saying, because that's how we're creating our daily life, one interaction at a time we're building it.
So one of your resolutions is act like every interaction matters.
And, yeah, that's... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Sean.
Well, again, to me, it's so important to realize that that's literally true. Not just, well, yes, it would be good to have that mindset. You never know when your brief conversation with a server at the restaurant you're eating at might have an impact on them that can be really positive. I mean, it's really amazing how much we affect each other without even realizing it, and even complete strangers in very mundane situations.
Right. Yeah, and it's not just touchy-feely, hey, you know, let's all share the love. I mean, I believe in that. Philosophically, mm-hmm. I believe in everything I just said mm-hmm. about how I could have a tremendous impact on somebody and don't know that, how you could be the person who spends an extra 30 seconds talking to somebody in the hall of the radio station, and that may convince them they're not alone on this rock. I believe in all that stuff. But here's the other reason to do it. It's more kind of steely-eyed pragmatism. Think about how terrible you feel when an interaction blows up. And that feeling carries with you for maybe minutes, maybe hours, maybe even longer. And we can erase some of those blow-ups by paying more attention early on to how we're interacting and to treat interactions like they matter. You know, the crazy, I guess, you know, in a way, I'm thinking at the new year about some of these weird quirks of the digital revolution. And another weird quirk of the digital revolution is this great con job that there's always something better just a click away.
Right.
When, you know, you look at any of the smart men and women from across the world history, look in the Bible, look anywhere, and all the sages will tell you life is in this moment, mm-hmm. right now. And, you know, that notion that this person in front of me is the most important thing to attend to right now, or this email that I'm writing, it deserves my full attention because why not? This mm-hmm. is how I'm interacting with somebody, and mm-hmm. you know, this is the moment to try to make the most of, not only for the touchy-feely, hey, let me try to have a positive impact on other people, I don't know when that can matter, mm-hmm. but for the flip side of it, of how asymmetrically energy-draining failed interactions are for all of us.
Wow. And Jeffrey Tumlin's book is called Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and in Life. And you can read his blog at tumlin.com, T-U-M-L-I-N. And more coming up with Jeffrey Tumlin just ahead.
Great stories about great saints on Relevant Radio. Here's Eddie Cotter, founder and director of the Dead Theologian Society.
Elizabeth was a Hungarian princess. She was betrothed at the age of 4 and married at the young age of 14 to a prince. Although surrounded by the luxury of her court, the young princess had a deep concern for those less fortunate. She provided food for hundreds of the poor and visited the sick at least twice a day. When her husband died, she joined the Third Order of St. Francis so she could continue the work with the poor, for the poor, for the rest of her life. She is patroness of the homeless, and her feast day is November the 17th. St. Elizabeth of Hungary, pray for us.
You've been listening to great stories about great saints on Relevant Radio. Learn more about the Dead Theologian Society at relevantradio.com, keyword DTS. Face life's challenges with a team of experts on your side.
On Call with Wendy Weiss.
Strengthening your marriage, healthcare reform, spiritual fitness, physical fitness.
On Call on Relevant Radio.
Parenting, addiction, elder care, homeschooling, the culture war.
On Call.
The timeless truths of our Catholic faith.
Issues important to today's Catholic family.
On Call with Wendy Weiss. Weekdays at 1 Central, 2 p.m. Eastern on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Past the hour, you're listening to Morning Air. I'm Sean Harriott, and Jeffrey Tumlin is with me. He's the author of the book Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and in Life. You can find it at local bookstores, and also go online to tumlin.com, T-U-M-L-I-N, tumlin.com. We're talking about just some resolutions that we can make for the new year in terms of communication. One of them, Jeffrey, is to expect less from communication technology and more from people, including yourself.
Yeah, Sean, that's another kind of weird quirk of the digital revolution is that I think my smartphone can do a lot more for my communication than I can, and it's not quite right because it's not the tool that matters, it's the message. Mm-hmm. And when I'm focused more on what tool am I using, what channel am I sending it, the message itself tends to get lost. And in because of that, because the things that we think about are my smartphone, a social media message, I'm going to put this out on Twitter and so forth, we're spending more time thinking about the tools or the particular channel that we're going to send the message and less time about the core of what I want to say. And that's the, there are a few key things that separate great communicators from average communicators. And one of those things is that the best of communicators are always thinking about what is it that I'm really trying to say? And then from that start point, they move into the second phase, which is, what's the best way for me to say it? Not the other way around, starting with the technology and then working back to the core of the message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think when you look at social media and how effective it can be, it really comes down to, at least for me, when I'm consuming it, it comes down to whether that person or that company really has said something I care about. And, there are websites I like to go to because of the product descriptions, because they're just kind of loopy. But I end up buying their products.
Yeah, it's we're in a fascinating environment from a communication perspective and from a connection perspective. Why do I like this website over this? Why am I clicking here and not clicking in this other place? And I think that fundamentally what a lot of people are trying to think through, whether it's me trying to think through, okay, I want to write a blog that's useful to people, and trying to put myself in the place of how can I best do that, or whether it's you trying to figure out, how can I continue the conversations that I'm having in the morning with people who I'm making connections with online. Everybody, we're all trying to figure out how do I know, we all know that there's amazing potential for connection, but there's no guidebook for how to do it.
Right.
And Sean, nobody knows. Nobody knows exactly how to do it. We're all figuring it out because it is a brave new world. And just as soon as we get our feet up under us for how we might do it on a blog, social media pops up.
Right.
There's Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
And as soon as we get straight with Facebook, something else, then there's Instagram and then and so forth and so on. And so it's fascinating from a how quickly it's changing and from a learning perspective. But yeah, I think most of us are trying to figure out how do I tap the potential of all these fascinating digital tools, the potential of connection, and actually connect.
And
tough question.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, I think that that's too why trying to take the idea of something going viral and turn it into a formula just never works.
Right. That's right. And right, because even post hoc, I mean, how could I figure out that a cat playing the piano is, are you kidding?
Right.
I'm going to make a story and make us, okay, all right, Sean, here's what you need to do. You got a cat, right? Can you make the cat frown? okay, you can't. Can you make it eat a cheeseburger?
Yeah.
it doesn't. Yeah. People are weird like that, right? This whole people thing would be easy, Sean, if it wasn't for the people.
That's right. We're just too darn unpredictable. And,
right,
and speaking of that, you have a couple of these resolutions that really have to do with just interpersonal communication, I mean, one-on-one. And one of them I really wanted to get to here was let difficult people win. Because you talk about counterintuitive ideas, that seems to go against the grain of at least what we always want out of a conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge believer in, and the reason to let difficult people win is because you've already tried, all of us, we've tried the alternative, mm-hmm. which is fighting these people, and it never works. You know, what happens is people aren't dumb. And so there's a cluster of difficult people in our lives. And if people are difficult and we can truncate our interactions with them, we do. Mm-hmm. And so let's say that in an average person's life, there's maybe the potential for 30 difficult people, people who are awkward to interact with, they're stubborn, they're quick to anger, they're moody. There's a cluster in the book. I list about 11 or 12 different archetypes. But basically, they're people who are just darn hard to communicate with. Mm-hmm. If in your life there's 30 of those you could readily identify, you've already eliminated about 20, maybe even 25 of them who you really don't have to interact with that much. Mm-hmm. And the people who remain are a small handful of people you either can't eliminate or drastically truncate your interactions with, or people you don't want to. Mm-hmm. So that's family, close family.
Right.
And it's a few essential people at work or a boss or a key client or something like that. And so we're not talking about the full 30 because you've already figured out how to drastically reduce your interactions with 25 of them. We're talking about mm-hmm. the 5 people who are left who you don't have a choice but to interact with. And instead of burning so much of your energy trying to change the very people in your life who are the least likely to change, forget about it. Be much more modest about how you might be able to interact with these folks. Have more modest goals. And I go into, more detail. There's a whole chapter on this in the book, but the meat of the matter is think of the small number of people, maybe one or two people who you're locking horns with who are difficult communicators, moody, rigid, stubborn, very prone to anger and so forth, and stop it because they are not going to change. And instead of trying to change them, take a completely different tact and seek much more modest interaction gains. Small pieces of light instead of trying to pound your head so hard into the wall that you open up a huge burst of sunlight because it's never going to happen.
Right.
And it's like we were talking about a couple minutes ago. Those failed interactions, they stick with us for a long time, mm-hmm. not only after, but we're there's a fascinating book by a primate biologist from Harvard named Robert Spolsky, and his book is titled Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Mm. And what his premise is we're the only animal, so to speak, that we can sit there and I can think myself into hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually put stress on my body by just thinking about things. So with a difficult person, there's not only the follow-on feelings of, man, I really blew that up. Uncle Billy, he laid into me again. I couldn't change him and so forth, or my boss, this or that or the other. There's not only what comes after, but I can kill myself, figuratively speaking, by thinking about it without even anything happening.
Mm.
And to eliminate a lot of that, I say make 2014 the year you just give up those tough folks.
And again, the book is Stop Talking, Start Communicating, and you can find it at your local bookstore. Also, go online to tumlin.com, T-U-M-L-I-N, tumlin.com. Jeffrey, thank you, and have a great new year.
Same to you, Sean.
We pray for healing. We pray to bless. We pray to grow in our relationship with God. Hi, this is Julie Rudnick, creator of the Sacred Intercession Prayer Journal. You may have heard me talk about the journal on Relevant Radio. It's been a blessing to hear how this journal has helped so many.
I have been praying for others every morning for several years. Lately, it seems to me that the power of those prayers has diminished. Your journal was Christ's answer to my prayers this morning.
Making the commitment to daily prayer and enduring the seasons of prayer can be challenging. Empower and revitalize your prayer life this coming year with the Sacred Intercession Prayer Journal. It's designed to blend prayer with daily living by providing the organization and the ready-to-use scripture prayers that you need.
Order the 2014 Sacred Intercessory Prayer Journal as a gift and for yourself at sacredintercession.com. Sacredintercession.com.
Hi, I'm Sheila Logminas. Doesn't it seem news these days has gotten more intense and we're more overloaded with soundbites and partial stories and campaigns to change public opinion about issues of the day on politics, culture, law, even faith? There's so much more to the story most of the time than a 2 or 3 minute clip or a news article tells you. And certainly when it comes to matters of social moral policy, when the media try to avoid the moral aspect. We want to live our beliefs in the public arena. I'll take a closer look at that today at 5.
This is Liz O'Neill with World Report from Catholic Relief Services, bringing you a special Christmas message from Bishop Gerald Kakanis.
Blessed Christmas to all our dear friends of Catholic Relief Services. It is my joy and privilege to share a few moments of Christmas time with you, expressing gratitude for all you do to help the life-saving work of CRS. I have witnessed the miracles created by the work of CRS. I've seen hope rise from the rubble. I've heard a heartfelt thank you in dozens of languages. And I've felt the genuine love that flows between the hearts of Catholics in the United States and our neighbors in faraway places. I have been blessed to be a part of the Catholic Relief Services family. Merry Christmas.